Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host this morning. I'm glad you joined me. In a few minutes, we're going to be continuing our ongoing study of the Old Testament in 2017. Today, we are going to be completing the book of Job. We'll be looking at chapters 38 through 42 as God speaks, and we'll see Job's reply and Job's restoration. Now, we do want to make you aware of a couple of things going on, and one of those begins this evening. And that is a gospel meeting beginning this evening at the East Mountain Church of Christ near Gilmer, Texas. This is going to be over the topic of the church Jesus built. The speakers are going to be Brother David McCain and Brother Benjamin McCain, the father and son duo. They do a great job. And for more information, you can call 903-399-5110. That gospel meeting that begins this evening at 7 p.m. at the East Mountain Church of Christ near Gilmer, Texas. Also want you to remember, especially for the young people, that summer camps are going to be beginning soon. One of those is at Camp Ida. We want to highly recommend to you. Camp Ida is located near Maude, Texas. It is under the oversight of the elders of the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. And there will be 5 sessions this summer, and that will begin the first week in June. For more information about Camp Ida, you can go to www.campida.org. And there you can find registration information for young people and get yourself signed up for one of the upcoming sessions this summer. Session 1 will be directed by Brother Alan Chance. Session 2 is directed by Brother Ross Hafner. Session 3, directed by Brother John McCormack. Session 4, the leadership session, is directed by Brother J.J. Hendricks. And Session 5 is directed by Brother Brian Braswell. The camp director is Brother Richard Rutledge from the Gospel Radio Network here. And so we hope that you are making plans and go to www.campida.org. Also, the summer youth series are kicking off around the country. Hope you'll let us know about your plans for those. They'll be starting up in June in most places. Many congregations are having summer lecture series. Many do these on Wednesday night. I do want you to be aware of the Mount Vernon's annual lecture, summer lecture series this year over the book of Hebrews. Our speakers in June will be Brother Kevin Colley from New Boston, Texas, Brother Marco Arroyo from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas, Brother Nat Ayers from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Texas, and Brother Anthony Warnes from Broken Bow, Oklahoma. In July, speakers John McCormick of Atlanta, Texas, Jim Laws from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, and Brother Chris Groda and J.J. Hendricks, both from the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant. In August, the speakers will be Brother Andy Baker of Maude, Texas, Brother Jeff Blanton from Fulbright, Brother Phil Hancock from the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Brother Brian Bordeaux from Caddo Mills, and concludes on August the 30th with Brother Neil Thurman from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas. And so let us know about what's going on in your area. You can send it to us at office@tgrn.org or mail it to us at P.O. Box 465 in Mount Vernon, Texas, 75457. Okay, let's get our attention now turned to God's Word this morning. We want to get right into it. And we're going to be looking at Job chapters 38 through 42 as this morning we complete our study of the book of Job. Now it begins with God's first reply to Job, beginning in chapter 38 and verse 1. And that'll go through chapter 40 and verse 5. Now we see God rebukes Job and he challenges him here in the beginning of chapter 38. In verse 1, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said. So we see that Job finally gets to have the audience with God that he has been desiring. However, I am quite sure that Job did not expect for the Lord God to approach him as a voice out of a whirlwind. Verses 2 and 3. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. God here rebukes Job for darkening counsel by speaking words without knowledge. And God tells Job to prepare himself. God is going to ask the questions and find out if Job can answer the question of God. Look at the statement by God. What a statement. Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. How would you like to be in Job's shoes at that moment? And so now, beginning in verse 4 and through chapter 39 and verse 30, we see the questions posed by God to Job. First, we begin with a series of questions highlighted by questions from the Lord concerning the earth, the sea, and day. And let us listen now to the words of the Lord, beginning in verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments, and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it, and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began? And caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take holds of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it. It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. The Lord at this point is just getting started. Job is certainly overwhelmed already. But now God begins to question Job concerning the world around us. God now questions Job about the depths and the widths of the earth and the death of light and darkness, the weather and the dispersal of light and wind, the stars, the night sky, and even floods, among other things. Pick up in verse 16. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you? Or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. Do you know it because you were born then? Or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused? Or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste, and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? And the frost of heaven, who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades, or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season? Or can you guide the great bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of heaven of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings, that they may go and say to you, "Here we are"? Who has put wisdom in the mind? Or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Or who can pour out the bottles of heaven when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? Again, I would imagine at this point Job feels about the size of an ant. But again, the Lord God has just begun. We continue in verse 39 here in just a moment. Now God begins to question Job about God's lower creation. God is truly taking Job to the task. And now he will ask him things like, how are the lion and the raven fed? How does the mountain goat and the deer reproduce and survive? The donkey's freedom, the strength of the oxen, the survival of the ostrich, the horse in his strength, and the birds of the air. Let's continue in chapter 38. In verse 39, as the Lord continues to question Job, can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions, when they crouch in their dens, or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven, when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Do you know the time when the mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down. They bring forth their young. They deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the onager? Whose home I have made the wilderness, and the barren land his dwelling? He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork's? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain, without concern, because God deprived her of wisdom, and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet he says, "Aha!" He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is. And thus God ends his first series of questions to Job. But he is certainly not finished. As we move to chapter 40, we see God's challenge and Job's response. The Lord now challenges Job and asks if the questioning Job would like to correct the Almighty. God challenges Job to respond to the first round of questions he has put forth to Job. Notice verses 1 and 2 in chapter 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. And then we see the response of the absolutely overwhelmed Job, who at this moment is probably just hoping that God does not strike him dead. Job comes to the realization that he is simply a vile and sinful man, and he is utterly unable to respond to the Lord God. And he tells him that he will speak no more. Verse 3. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. But again, God challenges Job. And so we now see God's second reply to the overwhelmed Job. The Lord proceeds to again challenge Job out of the whirlwind as the Lord begins to ask Job more questions. Verse 6. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. And so begins one of the most fascinating discourses in all of the Bible. The second round of questions from the Lord to Job. It begins with questions concerning Job's efforts to justify himself and his questioning of God. God asks if Job will annul his judgments. Is Job willing to condemn God that he may justify himself? Does Job possess the power of God? God says that if Job can adorn himself with power and glory and majesty, if Job can humble the proud, if he can do these things, then God will confess that Job can save himself. We pick up in verse 8. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a loud voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. And now, God begins to question Job concerning Behemoth. He questions Job about Behemoth, and obviously the reference is to a now extinct animal. But I want you to notice that the description would certainly fit the dinosaur. Remember that the dinosaurs, their fossils were not found until the 1800s. The word dinosaur did not exist when the King James Version of the Bible was written in the 1600s. The translators created a word from the original languages by using the original letters. When you look at the description given here of this animal, the dinosaur is certainly a more likely description than what many commentators have tried to use, saying perhaps a hippo or an elephant is some attempt. Certainly, whatever behemoth was, it was a creature of great strength, one of God's greatest creations, and only God could draw near him with the sword, as we'll see in verse 19. So now let's consider, as God discusses the behemoth with Job. We pick up in verse 15. "Now look at the behemoth which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring him near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the fields play there. He lies under the lotus trees, in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare." And if God here is just beginning, as now the questions turn to Leviathan, as God questions Job about another great creature, as we move into chapter 41. Some commentators have attempted here to use creatures like the crocodile as what's being described, or something similar. But with the same situation as occurring as with behemoth, where the original letters are simply changed to the corresponding English letter, the description here would well fit that of the legendary dragon. If a man could not stand up to Leviathan, then how could one stand up against the one who created the Leviathan? We begin chapter 41. "Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose, or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons, or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face, with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils, as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw, and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had white hair. On earth, there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. And now, as we come to chapter 42, we see Job's response and his contrition. Job now responds to this second set of questionings from Jehovah God. Job acknowledges the power of God and the fact that his purposes cannot be withheld. Job admits that he had spoken of things which he did not know or understand. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Job humbles himself before God in repentance. Verse 4. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And so Job, in response to God's challenge to answer his questions, Job can now only acknowledge that he has now seen who God truly is. And now, after this encounter, Job, in dealing with the Almighty, can only admit his error and repent. God also rebukes the friends of Job. God rebukes Eliphaz and his two companions. Verse 7. And so it was, after the Lord had spoken those words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went, and they did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. God's wrath had been aroused against the friends of Job. They had not spoken what is right concerning God, unlike their friend Job. How were they different from Job, who had accused God of injustice? Perhaps it was over the cause of suffering, for they said that Job's suffering must be the result of sin. Job had denied that accusation, and Job was correct and they were wrong. Or perhaps it was the fact that Job had repented and they had not. Nevertheless, the reason we see their restoration in chapter 42 here in verses 8 and 9. And beginning in verse 10, we see Job's restoration, his comfort, and his blessing. In verse 10, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had had before. Job prays for his friends, and the Lord restores to Job what he had lost. And in fact, God doubled the material blessings of Job. And then we see Job is comforted by his family and his friends after his great ordeal. In verse 11, Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Job's friends and family come to be with him and to give him comfort. and to break bread together with him. And they brought him gifts of gold and silver. And then the perfect ending to this amazing book. Because of his faithfulness, the remainder of the life of Job is greatly blessed by the Lord God. We continue in verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third was Keren-Hapuch. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. As is opposite the case of most people, the latter days of Job were more blessed than his younger days. His herds were doubled in size. And after losing all of his family, Job is now blessed with 7 sons and the 3 most beautiful daughters in all the land. What a blessing to live 140 years and to see his grandchildren to the 4th generation. So Job died old and full of days. Brother Johnny Ramsey noted that the blessings of adversity can often draw us nearer to heaven, and we have no greater example of this than the life of Job. Job took his adversity and drew closer to God. When we suffer adversity, we should emulate Job and draw closer to God rather than away. We can take encouragement even in this modern day to endure affliction when we learn from Job, as Paul told the church in Rome in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Great lessons from the book of Job. And so, as we have moved through another book of the Old Testament, with excitement we look toward tomorrow as we move into the Psalms. Oh, the great lessons, the great encouragement and strength that we will draw from these Psalms in the days ahead. We look forward to that. Even from the very beginning, with the very first psalm, those powerful lessons. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Tomorrow, Brother Chris Groda and Brother J.J. Hendricks will be your host. I encourage you to join them. If the Lord wills, I will see you again next Thursday at this same time for Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Stay tuned throughout the day for all of the programming here. And so, until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.